Three scriptures this evening, please. You'll find our first scripture reading in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 19 and 20. Then Luke's Gospel 24, verses 50 to 53, and the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 9 through to 11, please. Now, while you're finding the place, let me thank Sam for his words of welcome. Good to be back with you again, and the Lord bless you richly indeed. We were sorry to hear that our brother David's in the hospital, but we pray indeed that the Lord will take care of him and restore him to the fellowship again. Can we just take a moment, please, to pray for David? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for our dear brother David. We thank You for his witness and his testimony and his faithfulness to this assembly. And we pray for him tonight in the hospital over in Craigavon. And we pray that Thou wilt watch over him. And we pray, Lord, that You'll restore him to his health and strength again. Bless him and undertake for me and the rest of the family at this time. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. Amen. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, please, verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. In other words, he ascended and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Now please, Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and verse number 50, please. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. He ascended. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. The Acts of the Apostles, please. On chapter 1. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. He ascended. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which was taken up or ascended from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And the Lord will bless to our hearts those readings from his own precious truth for his dear name's sake. These three scriptures that we have read together gives us the historical record of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. These scriptures make it absolutely clear that our Saviour, who was crucified, who dismissed his spirit and died, who was buried and rose again, ascended. This ascension took place 40 days after he rose again from the dead. Sometimes we are apt to overlook the teaching in the scriptures concerning the ascension of our Lord. Perhaps we give far too little attention to this enthralling event. in his earthly life than we do, for instance, to his birth, baptism, temptation, transfiguration, teachings, miracles, and death. Nevertheless, it is true to say that all these prior events in the life of our Lord would lose their real significance without the fact of his ascension. Christians themselves are a living proof of an ascended Lord and Saviour. We are saved because he rose again and ascended up on high. For look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now from the fight return victorious. Every knee to him shall bow. And you see, we are kept from failing by a living and ascended Lord. We live day by day in fellowship with a living and ascended Lord. We have an advocate with the Father in a living and ascended Lord. And we are assured of eternal life because he lives and is with the Father as our ascended Lord. Thus we see how important the truth of his resurrection and the reality of ascension are. In the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of the Servant, the leading thought is service. His service was immediate, unceasing, unquestioning, on his part for God and man. And he is not called Lord until after his resurrection. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Here we see the Lord exalted as the reward of his perfect service and in keeping with the character of Mark's gospel. He still works through and with his disciples. In the Gospel of Luke, we read that he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. This is the gospel of the Son of Man, in the fullest aspect of his character and sacrifice. And it is so suitable that he should be described in the closing scene, not only of lifting up his nail-pierced hands in priestly blessing, but as ascending through the heavens to pour down a ministry of power and praise upon his waiting people. Acts chapter 1 opens with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we read, until the day in which he was taken up, ascended. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He sent them forth in the power of the Holy Ghost to be his witnesses unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while he beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He was taken up. This was a real bodily, visible ascension. followed immediately by the appearance of two men or angels in white who said, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." This is the moment that the Lord had in view when he said to his disciples, "What an if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend where he was before?" And when he said to the Pharisees, "Yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and not find me. And where I am, ye cannot come." This victorious, marvelous event in the life and ministry of our Lord was not without prayer intimations and allusions. And it will be helpful in studying this theme to note these. First of all, I want you to note the forecast of our Lord's ascension. And then as we go on, I want to note the fashion of his ascension. And then I want to note the fruits of his ascension. And then I want to conclude with the focus of our Lord's ascension. First of all, the forecast of our Lord's ascension. It was depicted in the types of the Old Testament. Just as the high priest entered once a year on the great day of atonement into the holiest of all with the blood of atonement, so our Lord has entered into the holy place not made with hands. He hath entered in. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Brethren and sisters, Jesus Christ has entered in to the sanctuary of God, having obtained eternal redemption for us through the shedding of his precious blood. Yes, it was depicted in the types of the Old Testament, and it was declared by Old Testament prophecy. Psalm 68 and verse 18 we read, "Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell amongst them." Now turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to note here the fulfillment of that wonderful prophecy written 1,000 years before the first advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 and 10, we read this, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And he that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." Isn't it wonderful that our Savior came down, he paid redemption's price, he rose again, and he ascended to the right hand of the Majesty on high, far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. Yes, it was depicted in the Old Testament types. It was declared by Old Testament prophecy, and it was predicted by the Lord Jesus himself. Now watch this. He anticipated his ascension in three wonderful ways. In his intercessory prayer in John chapter 17, please. And it's verses 11 through to 13. John 17, verse 11. Watch what he says. And now I am no more in the world. But these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. There is his intercessory prayer. And if you turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19 now, and verse number 11. Luke chapter 19. And verse 11, please. And this concerns the parable of the pounds. And it's a wonderful parable too. Luke 19. And we're reading from verse number 11, please. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country and received for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds. And he said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pounds have gained 10. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And you go on. And the second one came, and his pounds had gained 5 pounds. And he said, right on through, friends, in this parable, here we see that our Lord anticipated his ascension in his intercessory prayer and his parable of the pounds, and in his own personal promise to return again after his ascension. John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel in chapter 14, please. Well-known verses again. And we read in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, that speaks of his ascension. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Look at verse number 28. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again to you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. He came from the Father. He's going back to the Father. How? by ascending. He ascended from the Mount of Olives. Look at chapter 20, please, and verse number 17. Jesus saith unto her, that is unto Mary, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but to my brethren. And say, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Here's the forecast of the Savior's ascension. It's depicted in the types of the Old Testament. It was declared by Old Testament prophecy. It was predicted by the Lord himself, and it was affirmed by the angels. His birth was announced by the angels in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 verses 9 and 10. His resurrection was announced by the angels in Mark 6:16 and Luke 24. But more than that, dear friends, his ascension and his coming again was announced by the angels. And fifthly, it was documented in the scriptures. His birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection are all written in the biblical record. And so also is his ascension. Each epoch necessarily complements the other, giving integrity to the written word of God in its entirety. Can you see that the ascension was forecast, depicted in the Old Testament, declared by Old Testament prophecy, predicted by the Lord himself, affirmed by the angels of God, and documented in the scriptures of truth, and God's word cannot fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never ever pass away. We can stand upon the truth of God's word, the inspired scriptures of truth. They'll not fail, and neither will our Savior. Secondly, I want you to think of the fashion of his ascension. Now we're in Luke's Gospel, please. And it's chapter 24. And we are down to verse number 50. Now watch this. This is the fashion of his ascension. And he led them out. And I want you to get the little phrase. He led them out. He led them out. As the risen Lord, he takes his true position of leadership. By his Spirit, the ascended and glorified Savior leads and guides us by his word. And there's no other way. If you want to know God's will for your life, if you want to know what God wants you to do in life, then read the scriptures of truth in dependence upon the Spirit of truth to reveal God's will and God's way and God's word for you. Turn with me, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 16. John's Gospel, chapter 16, please. And I want you to read with me from verse number 4. And Jesus is speaking. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye shall remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. Who sent him? The Father sent him. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot hear them now. Howbeit, watch it now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. And the Spirit has come, because Christ has ascended. And when he ascended back to the right hand of the Majesty on high, he sent the Holy Spirit, the truth, to lead us and to guide us into all truth. Ah, but not only that, he came to do something else, Christ said. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto thee. Oh, beloved, listen. Study the word of God in prayerful dependence upon the Spirit of truth, and he will take the word of truth, he will apply it to your heart, and he will reveal Christ to you continually, that ye might be conformed unto his image. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to my Father. He led them out. Now we're back in Luke's Gospel again, please. Because I want you to really see the fashion of his ascension. He led them out as far as Bethany. Have you got that little phrase too? You see, much happened at Bethany. It was the place where the Lord Jesus often lodged. And you'll find it in Matthew 21 and Mark chapter 11. It was the place where he was anointed with the very precious ointment. Matthew 26. And it was the place where he cursed the fruitless fig tree. Mark chapter 11. And it was the place where he raised Lazarus from the dead. And later, had supper with him and his sisters, Mary and Martha, John chapter 11. A great event now takes place at Bethany. So many wonderful things took place at Bethany. But an even greater thing is going to take place. Now watch. And he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands. Are we getting the scene? What a wonderful scene it is. Here's the risen Savior. He's leading the people out. He leads them out as far as Bethany. And then he stretches out his hands over them. The lifting up of the hands was the usual symbolic sign, such as the lifting up of holy hands in prayer and beckoning with the hand to speak. And this also shows his purpose for future ages and generations. Oh, what a scene. Now watch what it says. He led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. That was his parting benediction. And it pronounced a holy form of speech. Blessing, not cursing, was his farewell word. Friends, follow his example. If you can't say a good word about a brother or sister in Christ, then keep your mouth shut. Don't allow the devil to use your lips. Refrain your lips from speaking lies. Remember what James saith about the tongue. It's a little member, but it's set on fire of hell. Now guard the tongue, mind the lips. Follow the Savior's example. His last parting word was one of blessing. Yeah. And there's a word in this book that says, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that would do evil to you. Well, friends, listen. Follow your Savior's example. Bless and curse not. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not. It made him. Now watch this, because this is wonderful. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. He actually ascended bodily and visibly. They beheld him as he was taken up. The Shekinah glory cloud received him out of their sight. The angels stood nearby. Now, how did the men feel at this awesome and amazing sight? They saw a space between earth and his blessed feet, and then more space. Then he was out of their sight. Standing, gazing up into heaven, the angels assured them that this same Jesus would come again in like manner or fashion, is the word, as they had seen him go. That's why I not only spoke, dear friends, to you of our Lord Jesus Christ concerning his ascension, the forecast and the fashion. And that was the fashion of his ascension. And there's great teaching in it for us. Do you know, over many, many years, I have never, ever heard a message on the ascension of Christ. I have never preached this message before. I was asked to write this message by Professor Robert Crean, who's the principal of the Covenant Theological College of Ireland. And when I was researching this, I discovered that while many of the expositors talked about his ascension, none of them ever expounded it. And I assure you, these headings are mine. They're not copied out of a book, you know. But if they're a blessing to you, you can use them. But hang your own clothes on them. Now watch this. The fruits of his ascension. The purpose and the result of his ascension are clearly stated. And a number of the reasons may be given why our Lord's ascension was necessary. You see, his ascension was necessary because he fully finished to the divine satisfaction the work that the Father sent him to do. He came to do the Father's will. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8. The law that was in his heart, he fulfilled and he made it honorable. That was the Father's will for him to do while he was here on earth. It was to lay down his life a ransom for all by dying on Calvary's cross for the sins of men. And of course, there are many references. John 1, 29, 2 Corinthians 5, 21, Hebrews 9 and 6, 1 Peter 2, 24, and 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. All referring to his death on the cross. He prayed to his heavenly Father, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And when the work was done, actually finished, he ascended and sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Turn to Hebrews, please. Chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in or by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Now listen to it. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. How did he do it? By dying on the cross, showing himself after his passion by many infallible proofs. 40 days later, he ascended to the right hand of the Majesty on high. The work's finished. Hallelujah. What a Savior. You see, his ascension was necessary before he could send the Holy Spirit. The ascension was essential because the sending of the Holy Spirit depended upon it. John Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And so he did at Pentecost. This baptism with the Holy Ghost could not be fulfilled until the Lord Jesus ascended and was glorified. And we should note and carefully note what he taught the people in John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And these words include all the great work of redemption accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. And again in John chapter 16 and verse 7, his teaching is clear on this marvelous thing. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. The ascended and the glorified Christ sent the Spirit of truth to indwell and to fill those who have come to Christ and believe on him. The Christian life is the life of Christ dwelling in us by the power of the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. And this could only be made possible by the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, the ascension of our Lord was necessary in order to carry out his work of intercession. While his earthly work finished, it was necessary for him to ascend in order that he might begin his priestly work. He's God's Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. As our high priest, he now sits in the presence of God as our advocate with the Father and as the only mediator between God and man. For Christ is not entered into holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. By him alone, therefore, we have access to the Father. And because Christ is our living ascended Lord, he keeps us from falling. Yes, he is able to keep us from falling. And one day to present us without spot and without blemish before the throne of his Father in heaven. What a prospect. Fourthly, the ascension of our Lord Jesus was necessary so that all his people everywhere might know and enjoy his continual presence. While here on earth, he could only be in one place at a time. But from his heavenly throne, in the person and by the presence of the Holy Spirit, he is with every one of his redeemed ones. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. I will never leave thee and never forsake thee. He's present with us. Hey, and do you know something? He's present here. He's in the midst. For where the two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And he understands our thoughts from afar off. Our rambling thoughts. Our wayward hearts. He knows all about us. And don't you try to deceive him where you can't. You can't bluff the Lord. He knows you through and through. Just be honest with him now. Just be honest with him as you sit in his presence. Look, this could only be possible if he ascended. And thank God he did. This wonderful truth is an encouragement to the believer. He is in the midst of his people. He is with us now, in our joys, in our sorrows, in our testings, in our trials. But one of the most precious things of all is this. He'll be with us in our departing, these earthly saints. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, the ascended and glorified Lord, is with me. You see, the ascension of our Lord was necessary so that he would be the preeminent example of faith, the unfailing source of strength and our spiritual life. Looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where he is. Do you believe it? In our earthly pilgrimage, we are to look off or away from our adverse circumstances, from ourselves and from all others unto him who is the author and finisher of our faith. We should wholly trust him whose faith never failed nor faltered along a rough and rugged road beset with temptations and trials at every step, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. So this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith in him. Nothing can harm the believer if we keep our eyes on Jesus, for it is written, ye are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. And this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Wherefore, he is able to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, that is Godward, who is harmless, that is manward, who is undefiled, that is inward, who is separate from sinners, that is worldward, and who is made higher than the heavens, friends, that's gloryward. Enthroned is Jesus now upon his heavenly seat. The kingly crown is on his brow. The saints are at his feet. And finally, the focus of our Lord's ascension. We want to focus our attention on the Lord's ascension. The ascension of the Lord Jesus was necessary to bring in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, or if you like, the church age. This present age of grace would be an extended period of evangelism. What an amazing start. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit began to move wonderfully in the hearts of the people, Peter preached unto them a crucified but risen Jesus, adding these words, wherefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. Note the result of Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls were gloriously and wonderfully saved and were added to the church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship and prayers and the breaking of bread. Friends, listen. Think of Philip's preaching in Samaria. My, he saw revival. You see, when these men preached the gospel, it wasn't in word only, but it was in the Holy Spirit and with the authority of God backing it. They saw blessing. From the bosom of the Father to Bethlehem. From the manger to the cross. And from the tomb to the throne. He has forever identified the church with himself, to the wonder, to the praise, and the rejoicing of all created spiritual authority. The ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ was necessary in order to confirm his pledged and plighted word to return. For if he's not ascended, how can he return? If he's still in the grave, how could he have ascended? He said, if I go, I will come again. The two men in white apparel confirmed his promise, saying, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And the Apostle Paul adds his inspired testimony, saying, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. But first of all, before he can descend, he must have ascended. And when he descends, he will fulfill his promise to come again. He ascended into heaven. But with such an indisputable and irrefutable testimony before us, we can be absolutely certain. We can be absolutely sure that Jesus will come again. The same unquestionable Jesus. The same unmistakable Jesus. They shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands. But listen, friends. He'll be the same unchangeable Jesus. Hallelujah. What a Savior. When he comes again, we shall know him. The same unquestionable Jesus, the same unmistakable Jesus, the same unchangeable Jesus. We can trust him. His ascension. Isn't it a wonderful truth? And how many wonderful truths relate to the great teaching that he was taken up to glory, that he went back to the glory that he had with the Father before the world was. And God hath given to him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he, the ascended Jesus, is Lord. God bless you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we pray that you will bless this word to all your dear people here this evening. We commit them to thee and pray for your blessing. And Lord, as we leave the hall, as we make our journey homeward, take us there in safety, with the blessing of God that maketh rich, and which no sorrow is added thereto. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. And amen.